Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. That was one of Haydn's Derbyshire Marches, and this is the genial and self-effacing John Derbyshire, with more news and views from the past week. I'm sorry to report that we're still having technical difficulties with Derb TV, as is inevitable with such a vast and multifaceted project involving so much complex equipment. I can assure you, in any case, that there is no substance whatsoever to the rumours you may have heard about the National Review suits, thinking that I'm just too ugly to represent the magazine on TV. Nor is there any truth to the report in People magazine that I was recently seen entering the office of a well-known plastic surgeon in Manhattan. Lies, lies, all lies, I tell you. One of the great rules of human affairs everywhere is that if a society gets disorderly and violent enough, citizens will accept pretty much any government, even one that's unjust, oppressive, or crazy, so long as it's strong enough to restore some order and peace to their lives. Case in point, Somalia. You remember Somalia. Black Hawk Down, that Somalia. Right. Well, after 15 years of road warrior chaos, Somalia's had a sort of semi-coup. What happened was jihadist fanatics seized the capital city, Mogadishu, and another big city, and declared an Islamic Republic. That's not the end of the story, as Somalia still has an official government in another city that doesn't look as if it wants to give up. In fact, this official Somali government has called for foreign peacekeepers to come in and deal with the jihadists. Oh yeah, we'll be right there, guys. Not. Anyway, these jihadist insurgents have banned cinemas from showing the opening games of the Soccer World Cup. Fact, they even cut off power so the matches couldn't be seen. I'm not sure of the Islamist angle here. Perhaps they don't want their people to get inflamed from seeing all those men's bare knees. Or perhaps they just read the TV schedules wrong and thought it was the world coup. You know how it is when you've pulled off a coup. You don't want anyone upstaging you with a bigger coup, least of all a world coup. Meanwhile, in North Korea, state TV is broadcasting the entire World Cup series. Of course, if you cheer for the wrong team, you end up playing water polo in Kim Jong-il's shark pool. Still, it tells you something about jihadis, that even North Koreans have more viewing choices than their subjects. Gentle listener, are you suffering from Weltschmerz? How faint soever, if you'll excuse my tamesis, how faint soever your kundalini may be, if you have any interest at all in our koine, you could hardly fail to be thrilled when Catherine Close, an alopecoid 13-year-old from New Jersey, showed her mastery of the Ursprache by winning the National Spelling Bee the other day. This year's contest didn't have the drama we've seen in previous years, when contestants have fainted at the microphone, or barfed, or been struck dumb with stage fright. But there was a nice little flap over the word Hechsher, a loan word from Yiddish, when a contestant was eliminated in error after spelling it correctly. I'm sure I don't need to remind you that it's H-E-C-H-S-H-E-R. As an old Scrabble player, I find these things irresistible, though I'll admit I don't want to play Scrabble with any of the finalists. Why are there so many loan words from foreign languages, though? Isn't English already supposed to have the biggest vocabulary of any language in the world? Do we really need all this foreign stuff? It seems a bit de trop to me. I mean, I don't want to whip up a lot of Sturm und Drang about it, but after all, you know, beata simplicitas est. The French have a presidential election every 6 years, and next year's the year, so the candidates are getting into position. the leftist candidate to succeed Jacques Chirac, who, incredible as it may seem, is a conservative by French standards, is a lady named Ségolène Royal. Mademoiselle Royal, I think it's Mademoiselle, she has a partner and 4 kids by him, but they don't seem to be married. Mademoiselle Royal has been doing some Clinton-Blair-type triangulation, saying a few mildly non-leftist things in the hope of copping some bourgeois votes from Nicolas Sarkozy, the likely right-wing candidate. But you don't care about any of that stuff. Here's the news item you'll remember. Mademoiselle Royal has been voted the 6th sexiest woman in the world by FHM magazine. Considering she's 52 years old, that's no mean achievement. When I was 52, I entered myself for the World's Sexiest Man contest, but I lost in a very close race to Jonah Goldberg. Anyway, there's your incentive for working up some interest in French politics. I must say, though, the lady's charms escape me. She looks pretty good for 52, but she's no Melissa Thuriot. And if you don't know who Melissa Thuriot is, you're living in a cave, or you might as well be. Oh, Melissa, zut alors, je t'aime, je t'adore, ma chérie. Oh, hi, Rosie. Nothing, honey, just, you know, just some editorial stuff. I have to be a bit careful when talking about Canada, I've discovered. A couple of weeks ago I made some snide comments about Neil Young, who is Canadian, never having bothered to take a US citizenship in the 40 years he's lived here. Well, we got a bag full of mail about that. A lot of abuse too, you know, moose droppings left in our mailbox, stuff like that. Angry telephone calls demanding to explain what my comments were supposed to be, a boot, and so on. Well, now here's another story from the friendly giant to the north. The 17 terrorist suspects arrested in Toronto the other day. 5 were minors whose names couldn't be released. Here are the first names of the 12 adults. Fahim, Zakaria, Assad, Sharif, Qayyum, Mohammed, Yassim, Jamal, Amin, Abdul, Ahmad, Saad. You with me here? Okay, here's the punchline. The Assistant Commissioner of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police at a news conference said that the suspects, quote, represent the broad strata of our community. Well, my own most indelible impression of the Mounties came from the Lumberjack song in Monty Python. So here, in a spirit of gentle, friendly mockery, no, the heck with it, here in a spirit of total disgust with those weenies up there on the tundra north of Buffalo, here is an updated version of that song. I'm Canadian and I'm okay. I sleep all night and most of the day. Our terrorists here in Toronto are black and brown and white. They're Hindu, Buddhist and Confucian, Quaker and Mennonite. Chorus. He's Canadian and he's okay. He sleeps all night and most of the day. When we discover people plot with intentions traitorous to chop our politicians' heads off, we find they're just like us. Chorus. He's Canadian and he's okay. He sleeps all night and lies for his pay. We won't discriminate or profile, no racist bigots here. And when the mushroom clouds devour us, we'll die with conscience clear. He's Canadian and he's okay. He'll be enforcing Sharia law someday. King Bhumibol of Thailand celebrated the 60th anniversary of his accession the other day. Goodness knows how the king made it through 60 years. His country's politics is a mess, and always has been. Military coups, fake elections, violent street demonstrations, stupendous corruption, uprisings and rebellions and incursions, you name it. Thailand hasn't had much good luck either. In the past decade, the Thais have endured a horrible financial crash, a tsunami, jihadist terrorism, very high levels of AIDS infection, and now bird flu. If Thailand hasn't been blessed with good government or good luck, though, it has been blessed with a very good king. Bhumibol is a shining advertisement for constitutional monarchy, and his beautiful wife Sirikit is another one. It might well be that without Bhumibol's steady, calm presence and the tremendous prestige he has among his people, there would be no Thailand today. Quiet and unostentatious, hard-working and intelligent, he knows Latin and Greek, among other things. This great-grandson of King Rama IV, that's Yul Brynner for you moviegoers, has travelled to every remotest corner of his nation. He's started countless non-governmental relief projects for the poor, and he's kept the generals and the crooked politicians firmly at arm's length. I'm a Republican myself, small r as well as big r. But if you wanted to live under a constitutional monarch, you could hardly do better than Bhumibol. My few scraps of the Thai language are far behind me. And anyway, I have a feeling that Sawat Dikrap is too informal a way to address a monarch. So I'll just say to His Majesty, may the Lord Buddha grant you many more years of life, good health, and service to your people. Let's hear it for Big R Republican Brian Bilbray, who won the special congressional election for California's 50th district. Bilbray's opponent, Democrat Francine Busby, alienated, if you'll pardon the expression, those voters who are actually US citizens by telling a gathering of Latinos that, quote, you don't need any stinking citizenship papers in order to vote. Plainly, Ms. Busby has read one too many Wall Street Journal editorials. Under the circumstances, it's amazing that Ms. Busby managed to get 45% of the vote. Although, considering that the 50th congressional district is just 3 miles from the Mexican border, perhaps it's not all that amazing. You have to be in awe of Stephen Hawking. Now 64 years old, which means he's even older than I am, if you can believe it, and quadriplegic from ALS for the past several decades, Hawking is one of the world's leading theoretical physicists, notwithstanding the fact that he can only communicate via a speech synthesizer, which he operates by twitching his right cheek. Back in 1991, when he was already so totally paralyzed he needed to be cared for by a round-the-clock team of nurses, Hawking managed to get involved with one of those nurses, as a result of which his wife divorced him. Last week, Hawking zipped around the world from his home in Cambridge, England, where he holds Sir Isaac Newton's old chair, to give a lecture via his voice synthesizer in Hong Kong. He mentioned in passing that when he'd met the late Pope John Paul II a few years ago, the Pope told him that it was wrong to look into the origins of the universe, because that was God's handiwork. I must say, John Paul was even braver than I thought. I would never have the nerve to tell Hawking what he could or could not theorize about. Hawking's slogan is that if you have a severe physical disability, you can't afford to have any mental weaknesses. It sounds straightforward, but I'm not sure many of us could keep to it through decades of total infirmity. What a guy! Any time you find yourself thinking that you got dealt a bad hand in life, just stop for a minute and think of Stephen Hawking. Well, it wouldn't be Radio Derb without an immigration story. I went looking for one, and boy, let me tell you, it's a target-rich environment out there right now. Here's one from the Denver Post. The Supreme Court of the Centennial State has ruled that a citizen initiative to deny state services to illegal immigrants is unconstitutional and will not be permitted on the November ballot. Just to give you the lay of the land here, there are 7 justices on the court, but one resigned earlier this year. Of the 6 remaining, 2 are Republican appointees and 4 are Democratic. The 4 Democratic appointees formed the majority that nixed the initiative. One of the Republican appointees dissented. The other didn't vote. I note that the Chief Justice, one of the 4 Democratic appointees, is named Mary Malarkey. The key point that swayed Chief Justice Malarkey and her colleagues was apparently the possibility that the initiative might prevent illegal immigrants from taking title to property they paid for. Gosh, we couldn't have that, could we? I mean, if you gatecrash our country and violate the law by working till you have enough money to buy a house, you ought to be able to take possession of that house, oughtn't you? After all, who's better entitled to own a little bit of America than someone who acquired it as a result of breaking the law? Eh? Those darn mean-spirited immigration restrictionists never think of basic points of fairness like that. That's your ration of madness and mayhem for this week, lads and lassies. More from Radio Derb next week, if global warming hasn't wiped us all out by then.